Calling something a school makes it seem like there was an institutionalized and codified training program in a single place. But in the case of the Barbizon School, the word school is more in keeping with a paradigm or a school of thought. Barbizon was a small town on the edge of the forest, and as landscape painting grew in public popularity and as intermittent plagues broke out in the cities, and because new train tracks made travel around France easier, people flocked to small towns like Barbizon to enjoy the landscape. Barbizon is located on the edge of what had previously been the king's private hunting forest, Fontainebleau, and its unique weather made it a place of dense growth and beautiful scenery. As early as the 1820s, artists began to journey to Barbizon to paint the landscape, some moving there permanently as living conditions in Paris worsened. Those who became known as the Barbizon School were most active from around 1830 to 1870, but saw the most interaction during the Revolution of 1848, when they left Paris for safety, and then during the cholera outbreaks in Paris right after the Revolution in 1848. The artists who frequent Barbizon became known as artists of the Barbizon School, and this is why Corot is sometimes lumped in with the artists of the Barbizon School. He went there occasionally, too, and was friends with many of the artists we're about to discuss. But keep in mind, this is not what they would have called themselves. To themselves, they were just a loosely grouped bunch of artists who were interested in investigating the same thing, the landscape, and the reality of existence. So what makes a Barbizon landscape different from, say, the Caspar David Friedrich paintings in the previous chapter? Barbizon paintings don't have ruins. They aren't picturesque, strictly speaking. They show quiet corners of rustic France, not far-flung places in Italy or places that look like Italy. Eventually, they would also come to be known for their portrayal of simple people living simple lives in the simple landscape. But for the most part, the Barbizon School was all about landscape. All the landscape, all the time. Theodore Rousseau. Theodore Rousseau was the loudest voice for the call to artists to the outdoors. Some say the forest possessed him. He eventually purchased a property in Barbizon and lived there in the later part of his life, but at first he just visited. He and his wife moved into a cottage he purchased in Barbizon, and there he lived for most of the rest of his life, between trips to Paris for art sales and shows and one disastrous trip to the Alps. Rousseau met with many artists who came to Barbizon and helped them find good painting spots in the woods, taught them how to paint trees, and had in-depth discussions with them about the importance of painting the land. But despite his reputation as a devout landscape painter, he had a serious run of bad luck later in life. His wife became severely mentally ill and required serious care. His father became destitute and relied on his son for monetary aid. While he and his wife were away from home in search of medical treatment for her mental illness, a young friend of the family who had been staying with them caused his own death in their cottage. Then, during that trip to the Alps, Rousseau caught pneumonia and the consequent weakening of his lungs plagued him for the rest of his life. When he returned home, he suffered insomnia and the lack of sleep weakened him. Possibly in response to being rejected yet again from receiving awards for his work, Rousseau had an undiagnosed but much debated attack of health and became paralyzed. Although he recovered, he then suffered a relapse later that year and died, leaving his ill wife in the care of his fellow painter and friend Jean-François Millet. Melancholy is the overarching theme in his paintings, although he sought to paint the landscape as it was. All his landscape paintings were rejected from the Academy until after the 1848 Revolution. But under the monarchy? Nothing. So he quit trying. The lack of publicity at the Salon actually worked to his advantage. He became a legend.